my banter recorder wasn't going.
Sad day.
Now it is. Yeah, we're live.
Great. It's good to talk to you again. Well, less than 24 hours later. No, 24 hours and some change.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
It's not 8 o'clock yet. I'm not going to play the theme.
Waiting with bated breath.
Which one, though? The classic one? The one with the It's Greg or the one with the UFO people at the beginning? What do you want?
You know, I'm kind of impartial to the It's Greg one.
It's Greg.
Okay. Okay, now it says 8 o'clock according to computer time, which is time to the internet, which is time to the atomic clock at the U.S. Naval Observatory in Washington, D.C. And here's the intro that Joshua wanted to hear.
Hey, release the hounds.
Yeah. Get your hands up. Here we are. Don't move. Don't reach for them guns.
Take it easy, you galoots. Put away the hardware and relax.
That's great.
In the unknown, the mysterious, the unexplainable. That is why you are here. And now, for the first time, we are bringing to you
the full story of what happened on that fateful day. We are giving you all the evidence based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Let us punish the guilty. Let us reward the innocent. My friend, can your heart stand the shocking facts about
Radio Mysterioso?
Second ago, I realized I was recording with the microphones, which would give us a terrible recording. Yeah, that would have been absolutely horrible to have the microphones on. Oh, I can barely hear me. There we go.
It wouldn't have been particularly bad until you realize it halfway through, and then you're like, oh, this has been an entire wash. Awesome. Great.
Well, it's been one of those things. Oh, wait, let me put on the backup recording just in case.
Backing up's the thing to do. My wife was trying to make a wedding album coffee table book for her father today, and the interface with Shutterfly crashed an hour and a half in, right when she decided to save it. So yeah, backing up's the name of the game. At any given time, I have 3 copies of my book: one on the hard drive, one on a flash drive, and one sent to my email, because yep. I'm paranoid about that at this point.
Okay, yeah, I've only got one backup. I've got a what's that called? Apple Time Machine. So I just put it on like a 2 terabyte drive. Every time I do something on the book, I'll save it to my computer every like 5 minutes while I'm doing it, and then at the end of the session, I put it on the backup.
Yeah, I'm probably overly paranoid about it myself. But
well, you should be.
Yeah, I just can't imagine something that would be more disheartening than to lose all that time and effort and yeah.
Oh, you haven't had it happen to you then yet?
Oh, well, maybe I should knock on this wooden desk. No, I have not had it happen to me.
Oh well, lucky. Yeah. Okay. There we go. There's me. I had lunch with the Go Rightleys today. That was nice.
Well, that must be a lot of fun.
Well, the thing is, they have relatives in L.A., basically like probably 2 miles from where we live. So every time they come to visit, if they have time, we do something, hang out. So we went and had a nice lunch and cracked jokes and had too many Bloody Marys. And
And then I went home and passed out. And then I went. I didn't announce the show till like half an hour before because I had passed out from not having enough sleep and then drinking like three incredibly strong Bloody Marys during lunch. So,
hey, that's a perfect Sunday afternoon activity. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
yes.
Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna. Say, my parents often made it a point to have throughout the summer, they would finish their yard work by about 4 p.m. and then they'd have Bloody Mary afternoons where they'd drag the stereo outside and blast Mother's Finest while drinking Bloody Marys. Are you familiar with Mother's Finest?
Nope.
It's a great funk band from like the late 90s, from Atlanta, Georgia. They did. I think their big hit was called Baby Love. Oh, baby love, oh baby. Anyway, yeah. Hopefully that's all the singing that I'll do for the night.
Well, I won't be doing. Every once in a while at the end of the show, sometimes people can catch me singing along with something. Would you like to talk about your? Let's do this first. Talk about your speech to Georgia or Atlanta MUFON yesterday, yeah. Right?
Yeah, the Georgia chapter of MUFON. I was, wow, where do I start? It turned out to be such a huge, long day. I was sort of apprehensive for, I think, reasons that are pretty apparent in terms of my view that I bring to all this and the typical MUFON view that you hear about measuring burn marks.
Be brave. It turns out you didn't have to be brave, though, right?
No, this is also my first. Well, also to be clear, this is also my first multi-person in meetup with people interested in these subjects, and it was also my first live presentation. And on all fronts, it was a rousing success. But I had the distinct pleasure of talking with many individuals, some experiences, and some people in the organization as well. The director of MUFON Georgia, the chapter, is director the proper term? I don't even, state director.
Yeah. Section director, state director. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Ralph, his last name escapes me at this time, but, completely open to altered states of consciousness, verbatim quote, little green spacemen, little green scientists don't explain everything. Very interested in Bigfoot, and absolutely, again, also admitting that the idea of an undiscovered primate doesn't explain everything. Very interested in psi phenomena. Apparently very willing, not hesitant to pull people field investigating if they go out there with an ETH mindset. The meeting opened with the thorough debunking of a sighting in Augusta, Georgia, that they actually were able to determine were stunt planes. They were able to triangulate the location of this very compelling nighttime sighting, and they actually were able to get a hold of the stunt plane group that was rehearsing at night.
These damn skeptics taking over the UFO field. Damn them.
I know, right? Heaven forbid. I went full altered state, full, you know, fairy similarity, full, you know, full extraterrestrial hypothesis doesn't explain everything, and nobody complained at all.
Wow.
The closest thing I got was one lady who said that she was an experiencer, and she was like, I was never given any food, and I wanted to say, well, I have a car and I've never had a blowout, thank God. Doesn't mean it doesn't happen.
Right.
But I tried to find a more delicate way to put things. But I met another experiencer who remembered that he had been given food. Great, very, very well-spoken, very
open-minded,
kind-hearted individual who was very, self-questioning of what he experienced. He knows he's experienced something. He knows the things that he has experienced, but he's not sure if it's, you know, if it's spiritual or if it's, you know, an ETH thing or, you know, anything like that. But the reception just to these alternate ideas was fantastic. And, you know, it was really refreshing because we ended up deviating into Garden of Eden, you know, mushroom stoned ape territory. And it was so refreshing to see like eight people scribbling down Terrence McKenna in the MUFON. I'm talking about like, Terrence McKenna, check him out. And everybody's scribbling it down quickly. And I'm like, yes, this is good. This is good. So, yeah, I mean, very
pretty soon you get to say my work is done here and, you know, fly out the window.
Really? I mean, the open-mindedness of leadership was really incredibly refreshing. And because, I mean, we both know individuals that who have expressed an extreme, you know, dissatisfaction with the direction that MUFON's going in. But if this sort of – if this is the vibe at the meeting that I was at, I wonder if it isn't as bad as we think it is. You know what I mean? Not saying – again – for anybody listening out there, not saying that the ETH isn't a viable option or a possible solution for some cases.
Right.
But I had multiple people in leadership say this, it can't just be that. It can't just be spacemen.
What are the ages of these people?
One of them was about the state director, I'd say is probably in his mid 50s.
Okay.
And the associate director is probably just a little bit older than me, maybe 37. Uh-huh. And there was a very wide array of people who were there. A lot of questions that were critical of you know, some of David Jacobs' work. People who were able to take some of what he's done that's positive and say, well, this is good, but also I don't feel like this is really, you know, the right direction we should be going in. It was, like I said, it was in a great way, it was not what I was expecting.
Right.
Yeah, it was quite inspiring in a lot of ways.
That is amazing because I gave a talk called something like Aliens Aren't from Other Planets, Maybe. a couple of times at a couple of places, and I saw a lot of sour faces. Even though I repeated over and over the title, I said maybe. I said, you know, this stuff, they could be coming from other planets. It doesn't explain everything, just like you just said. And why don't we look at some other stuff? Because, you know, it would behoove us to go down other pathways because we've not actually found any 100% verifiable, everybody agrees, nobody has any problem with it, really, truth about the matter. So I think we're free to speculate.
Yeah. Yeah. And that went over like a lead balloon, apparently, huh?
There were still sour faces, and I got some, you know, some. The thing is that sometimes when you listen to somebody and you don't agree with them at all, or something they don't like, you latch on to that thing, and everything else they say just goes by because you're so pissed off about that one thing.
yeah, exactly.
So,
exactly.
Like something I said 3 minutes into the talk. Somebody'd be sitting there boiling, and then, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours later, they raise their hand and it's like, how can you say? I said, well, I said maybe. I also said it could be this other thing later, and harumph, and they sit down.
Well, and for me, I think that might, because like I said, the closest thing that I had was an experience. And again, this is me judging experiencers at all. But the experiencer who was like, well, I've never been given any food all the times that I've met these beings.
Right.
But it was, I think it was nice to know that leadership was kind of like, hey, this guy's not, you know, this guy's not,
he's not coming in to tell you people you're all full of crap or that you're wrong or, anything like that. It's not somebody that's just trying to say nothing but.
Right. Exactly. So yeah, it was a very, it was a jaw droppingly positive experience. Met an individual who has, who's been involved for a very long time. He's in his late 60s. He lives just up the road and has an extensive library, which I plan on plucking some sources out of that I have just literally the first thing that I said, really, you have a lot of books. Do you have this? He goes, yep, come and get it. So great to have met him. But the welcomeness and the openness and the agnosticism that I found on display was the polar opposite from what I've been hearing from all you crusty UFO guys on the radio.
Or the experience anyway. Yeah, that's amazing. Because I had James Carrion on, what, like 3 years ago?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned that, you know, I said, are you guys doing anything differently? And, you know, he goes, yeah, there's people doing all kinds of stuff in MUFON. And I said, somehow the subject of DMT came up. And he said, oh, yeah, there's a group in Oregon working on that. And I said, in MUFON? He said, yeah. And I went, what?
Yeah, I mean.
But I never heard any more of that. But the thing is that the fact that the director of MUFON can say that without giggling, getting mad or anything was amazing to me. I don't know what the leadership is like now.
I think two things. I mentioned ayahuasca, and everyone involved, many people involved seemed to know exactly where I was going with that. They were like, oh, the DMT thing. And I'm like, yep, the DMT thing, DMT elves. And like, oh, yeah, the elves and the buzzing. I'm like, yep, and the buzzing. I think what we might be seeing, Greg, is kind of an organic move toward what you have proposed, this sort of smaller scale, more – I mean, it's almost like if the old guard MUFON was a union of state chapters, this almost feels more like a loose confederation of state chapters. You know, similar standards, you know, you have to be a certified hypnotherapist to do this, or, you know, similar methods, but a little bit more freedom to explore alternate avenues. That's at least the impression that I got, and I hope I'm not getting anybody in trouble by saying any of these things, but it was, yeah. I think that's sort of the direction it's going in, which if that's a natural outgrowth towards the model that you would propose many times on this show, then that's fan-freaking-tastic.
Yeah, I almost can't believe it's like, what? You're doing that? I don't know what to say now. I have nothing to complain about. Well, you know what? I don't really want to complain. It was just the whole time it was like, you know, like a lot of people, it was kind of more like cheerleading. Why don't we do this thing? Why don't we do this thing? Wouldn't it be great to do this thing?
Right,
and
right.
Independently or whatever, a lot of people came up with the same, you know, let's try other stuff idea, and you know, the fact that they're more open minded is like, you know, 100% better.
Yeah, and so the entire time, like, I'm literally halfway through my presentation, and I'm just thinking of all the people that I want to tell this great experience to. Because it's just, like I said, anyway, I'm saying the same things over and over again.
Okay. The reason that we set this up, you just mentioned that you want to talk about that, said, yes, I do want to talk about that, was that you've been listening to the show for a while, and you even listened to the Weird Music shows, and then I find out when you were on the show last time that you are a Weird Music fan. You said, well, let's have a show sometime where we just, you know, present each other's favorite strange music. So you sent me a list, basically, that's on YouTube. I was I grabbed about 40 songs to choose from off of my computer, and I don't know if they're direct answers to any of your songs, really. Some of them are, but most of them aren't. And I only listened to about 3 or 4 of yours because that's what you told me to do.
Yeah, there's one that I might, if you suggest that we actually listen to it, I might completely veto.
Okay. No, I'm going to let you pick.
It might be a little blue, but...
No, we don't... It doesn't matter.
Okay, well, in that case, it's really interesting. Yeah, I tried to... I kind of feel like I might have pulled some punches because being a classically trained musician, that sort of makes your weirdness threshold pretty high.
Yes.
There have been some really strange things that I've heard. So I tried to keep it in the weird but pleasant to listen to category.
Oh, I have a few unpleasant to listen to's that I'm going to subject you and other people to.
That's great. You know, I still think that music should always be pleasant to listen to. I mean, you know, I've often told people that, you know, the first time you listen to Tom Waits, it's like drinking bourbon, and like, you know, you power through one or two instances, then before you know it, it's 3 a.m. and you're just having a great time.
That's the best description of Tom Waits I've ever heard. Go ahead.
Yeah, it burns for the first couple of times, and then, you know, You sort of get down into the nitty gritty. I'm a huge Tom Waits guy.
I used to be. I mean, I am. Sometime in the late 80s, early 90s, I was listening to him because people around me were listening to him. And I even saw him perform once in L.A. here at the Wiltern Theater.
I admire a lot. Even if I didn't find some of his music enjoyable. And trust me, there's some of the stuff that I have a hard time listening to. I admire his
phone machine.
Yeah, the ocean doesn't want me today.
Now you sound like Captain Beefheart.
I admire his artistic philosophies.
Right, exactly.
He at one point said, your hands are like dogs, and they always go in to places that are pleasant or comforting to them. So yes. The idea is to, you know, the idea is to try to get away from that. And I think in one instance where he used that quote, he followed it up by saying, and that's why I'm playing bassoon. So
that really sounds like that was a really good Tom Waits impersonation. I like that.
Oh, thanks. Have you seen that? Well, I promise we'll get to the meat and potatoes here, but I enjoy watching his interviews as much as anything else. Have you ever seen the comparison of his body language with Heath Ledger's Joker?
No.
There is a theory out there that Heath Ledger based a lot of the Joker on Tom Waits because there's this hunched sort of like oblique body language that he does. And some of the deliveries are kind of his lines are very Waits-esque. If you look at Waits in that like late 70s, early 80s, all those Tonight Show interviews and whatnot. There's some fascinating side by side comparisons that are out there. So if you get a chance, it's definitely worth seeing.
Because he has been an actor in a few movies, most notably, I guess, Jarmusch, a couple Jim Jarmusch movies.
Yeah.
And Coppola, I think those two S.E. Hinton Outsiders and whatever the other one was, was in those.
Let's bring it around in a Fortean way.
Yes.
He was playing piano in the bar in the film version of Wolfen. written by Whitley Strieber.
Right, so. Right.
Yeah.
What would you like to present to us first to something pleasant and unusual? And I will move into the slightly unpleasant, unusual, I guess. See, the thing is, I don't need to if I feel a bit of like confusion and revulsion, that's a reaction, and I actually like that too.
Well, then
it's a leftover of my depressive personality I used to have when I was a teenager and in my 20s.
Well, then let's go straight down the pipe with something that I think will be close to Greg Bishop's heart. Let's do the cover of Country Roads that I sent you.
Okay, let me find that. See, I did not sit here and line them all up, which is, I guess, what I should have done, but I don't even know if my computer can handle it anymore, this poor little laptop.
I can resend you that link, too, if it becomes a problem.
No, I've got the link, so here it comes. It's taking a second. Here it is. All right, that's Victor Wood. Yes?
Sounds about right.
Okay.
I believe so, yep.
Yeah, I have to leave you on while this. I guess I could mute out. Oh yeah, no, I can't. I can't mute you out. So whatever you say during
I can mute myself out if need be.
Okay. So let me know if you can hear this first after it starts playing.
Okay.
So to make sure that you can,
and if I can, then I'll mute myself.
Okay. Take Me Home, Country Roads, covered by Victor Wood.
Yes, I can hear it.
Okay, let me put it at the beginning because it cut in. Here we go.
This song is from Wilbert's Hard to Find Music. Alas lang aking bayan sa pag-ibig likas na mayaman ang mabuhay walang kasing tamis di ka magsisisi. Wala kang hinagpis, country road. Take me home to the place I belong, Pilipinas, aking bayan. Take me home, country road. Laging nasa aking isipan ay ang bayan na sinilangan. Kasiyahan ang nadarama sa aking pagbabalik. May luha sa mata, country road. Take me home to the place I belong.
tumatawag tuwing umaga para bang ako'y binibigyan panyaya sa aking pag-uwi.
I didn't do it. Well, you get the idea. I mean, we don't have to... Oh, well, that's... Okay, I should have picked a different link. I was just familiar with a different... sorry about that.
There it is. Let's let it play out. Yeah, I wonder why that cut out like that. No, it doesn't cut out on the recording. Just suddenly, YouTube didn't want to play it.
Take me home, country road. Take me home, country road. Take me home.
You know what language that is there, Joshua?
I believe it's Tagalog.
That's right. You told me about this.
That's something I learned a while back is that apparently John Denver is hugely popular in Southeast Asia, especially the tune Country Road. In fact, a couple of years ago in Thailand, there was a John Denver karaoke-related killing spree.
What?
I think because somebody was singing Country Road over and over again at karaoke, is what I recall. But
I'm sorry, I'm laughing.
I just love this song about West Virginia. I mean, the sentiment, of course, is universal, but it's really funny to think about something as non-Southeast Asian as John Denver and Country Roads and West Virginia being immensely popular.
Yeah. very strange that you had that because I've got a lot of the things on my list here are strange worldwide covers of different pop tunes that most people know.
Oh, well, that's part of the reason. I knew that you'd appreciate that in particular. So,
okay, how about I don't even know what this one sounds like. It's Day Tripper from Thailand.
Yes.
That is crazy stuff. I like that.
Yeah, that's fascinating. What's striking about it to me is the affectation.
Yes.
of trying to sing it like the Beatles.
Can you hear this? I'll play a little bit of it. This is on the same album, and I won't hog the time, but I realize that this is the one I kind of want to play. It's the James Bond theme. It's the James Bond theme from Thailand. It's what?
I was just gonna say this is like an excuse to hang out. It's fine. No worries if you hog it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's only like 2 minutes.
No, and again, it's fascinating because the way that that is, the way that differentiates from the version of the movies, and yeah. Given this is also it's from the same Thai recording, you said.
Yeah, listen to
okay, that. So not quite Thai, but a lot of the music in that part of the world. Are you familiar with gamelan?
Yes, my wife loves gamelan.
That sort of has that sort of like segmented-y sort of the term that is used in music is hocket, where like individual instruments play individual notes and create a composite melody.
Ah.
From what I can hear, because the audio quality isn't spectacular on my end, it sounds like that has that sort of like a broken up feel that sort of almost sounds like it's filtered through that sensibility. It's interesting.
Yeah, well, you can hear it, especially in the beginning, when just the... The rhythm, the percussive instruments are Thai percussive. Listen.
Oh yeah, yeah. I didn't hear that one earlier.
And then it starts in, but anyway, that's what fascinates me about that one.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, and that's
Son of PM. I don't know who that is, some Thai group from the 60s or person from the 60s. Before that was Starlight, which I guess was the name of the group, with the Day Tripper.
Well, maybe it's Son of Night, and they're being witty.
Oh, maybe, yes, I think you're right. The Son of Night, James Bond theme from the Thai Beat A Go-Go collection. Yeah, there's so much great stuff on that. Look up Thai Beat A Go-Go. There's a playlist. The entire album, and I've listened to the whole thing and just been on the floor, like, writhing, going, oh, God, this is great!
I've got to check it out. It's worth the price of admission alone for the title.
Yes, and there's two volumes.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
so, Thai Beat A Go-Go.
Yeah.
I got to take a look. I'm keeping a running Word document concurrently of things as I come across them.
Okay, so what do you got up? There's also a version of Iron Man on there, which I noticed you had on here, on your list.
Yeah, my
we don't have to play that next, though.
No. I actually think we're going to sort of go in this filtered Western thing. Have you ever heard Preston Colin Ensign 9 Seusal?
No.
Okay, that's the first one on the list. I don't know if you have that pulled up. It's the one that the name is super hard to tell. I don't know if I should tell you the story and let you listen to it, or have you listened to it and then tell you the story.
You know what? Tell the story first. I got a feeling that that'd be good, because that's one of the ones I actually previewed, and I went, what? And it sounded okay, wonderful.
And I'm probably saying the name completely wrong. It's not even so much of a story as what he's trying to get across. It's an Italian artist who's trying to convey what it sounds like listening to an English song in when you're in an Italian audience.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. So I thought it'd be right up your alley. So what makes it even better is that it's got a fantastic beat. It's great. But it's really an interesting thing, because you always wonder what, you know, your own language sounds like to those who don't understand it. We can have RPJ correct me if I'm wrong, but I had someone tell me once that, you know, how Americans always go El so-and-so-o for whenever they're trying to do, imitate Spanish.
Yes, they put an O at the end of everything.
I've heard that in Mexico they often go shun at the end of things to imitate English. Which I don't know if that's true or not, but it makes a lot of sense how many of our words end in shun.
Yes, so just watch Sesame Street or whatever it was.
So RPJ, that's your job, is to confirm or deny that rumor. But yeah, let's go ahead and give this a listen. It's a ton of fun.
Okay, here we go.
Freezing cold in ancient Antuzo.
You the cold maids say one. Freezing cold in ancient Antuzo. All right.
Wow.
When I stand in shoes, and I will hold build the scene, then a whole red man begin to call the boss dying. My begin to cold, never sustain yet, Bill Joe. When I stay in the shoes, and I will hold me
never just got paper to share. You're the cover, not choose, not bite, but not sure. Hope, hope, but just getting along the cover, no fine. All the differences stand, light the shoes and go, my man. You've accustomed to the matter called the radio girls. Oh, something. But don't call her to contain. Let face it go. We can see and understand when the shoes are coming in. This is two of the cars that are before one to cry to state. Hi, hi, my chance, let ain't a hill still go and breathe on. Hi. Unicorn and made us say one. Please sit, call and listen, I do some. All right. You know I feel as you can them and know. There's people that actually like big yo. There's people that actually like deep yo.
Okay, you hit a home run with that. I had a religious experience.
Yeah, I felt like that had your name written all over it. So I'm proud that you found that pleasant.
I could listen to that all day. I could listen to his stuff all day. That was Adriano Celentano.
Yep.
From 1974. It says 72 on the record here, but I don't know if that's the actual record.
I think that's pretty much around that time.
Yeah, well, there's a comment on it. The person that uploaded it said it. This was played in some UK clubs in 1974, years ahead of its time. Thought of as the first ever rap record. Well, that's debatable. Very strange lyrics. Feel free to sing along if you can. The song is available on iTunes, but only cover version. In case nobody is catching us. Adriano noticed similarities. Just like you said, in American rock and roll music, and made a song that was designed to literally sound like English-American gibberish.
Yeah, and it's appeared in a couple of commercials here and there. But,
really?
Yeah. And I think it's been in a couple of foreign films as well. The first time I actually heard it was one of my drummers. I played it for me, and it was just when you hear that, it sticks with you.
It's totally sticking with me. I'm going to record it and put it on my phone or iPod or whatever and listen to it in the car. I can't even pronounce it, but for people that want to look it up, it's – well, actually, all you have to look up is Adriano Celentano.
It's probably easier than writing his gibberish word.
Yeah, C-E-L-E-N-T-A-N-O is his last name. First name, Adriano. And that'll come up most assuredly. What? There's a – it says live 2012. I don't believe it. He's going to sing it live? He looks old. Oh my God, it's on stage, people playing it live. He remembered the whole thing, and he starts singing it on stage.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm watching this now, and the crowd is going nuts.
I'd go nuts. I went nuts listening to it just here.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. That is totally amazing. I really like that.
Oh, man,
that.
Later in the video, he's dancing, and it's fantastic.
Okay. Yeah. I really don't have anything to answer that. I do have an album of Italian cover songs, American pop music from the 1960s done in Italian.
Hey, go for it. Let me hit some of those, because that was my nuclear option, Greg. I sort of played my card really early there. So,
well, I don't know what it has blown my mind, and it has stayed blown, and it's amazing. I loved it.
Yeah, hit me with some 60s Italian covers.
Let me see, just a second. Well, it was done in the United States, but
recorded in Italian. Got it.
Yeah, but recorded in Italian. Now I'm trying to remember the name of the. Oh, who's the one? I'm trying to remember it because if I can remember one of the songs, I can type it into iTunes and it'll come up. They did. Oh, here it is. The Gaylords sing American hits in Italian. What's the best one? Oh, Yakety Yak's good because they say "shut up at your face" in it, and it's this is how you know it was done in the United States.
Ooh, love it.
Yeah, I can't remember the year of this, but here's Yakety Yak by the Gaylords in Italian.
Shut up your face.
La stanza mia mi fai pulire. Anche le scale del WC. E se non faccio ciò che vuoi, nemmeno un soldo tu mi dai.
Shut up your face.
Chiacchieri sempre zitta stai.
Shut up your face. Shut up your face.
Oh man, so I have a couple of observations. First of all, I love that the Italian translation of "don't talk back" is "shut up at your face."
Yes.
That's amazing. That's so fantastic. Well, man, that's
no
background about.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No background on the Gaylords. I guess I could look them up, but apparently it seems like they're American band that just American vocal group that just sang things in Italian.
That's amazing, and what's amazing to me is a lot like the Day Tripper thing. I mean, you would be surprised at how. Incredibly well thought of Weird Al as in classical musician circles. Simply because to replicate,
yeah,
what people do that well is you know, actually takes a degree of difficulty, and
yeah.
And that's what's striking, especially about that version of Yakety Yak, is like all the stuff around it. From what I can tell, through this Skype connection, it sounds. It sounds an awful lot like the original, which is wild.
Yeah, no, they did. They went to great pains to get the, reproduce the music quite well. I never really thought about that. it's kind of like a Weird Al effort. And it, you know, there's before Weird Al, there were many people that did parody songs. It's just that he was probably my generation's Buchanan and Goodman, or whatever you want to call it. The person that did the parodies of all the popular stuff. Spike Jones was the guy before that, or you know.
Right.
But the thing about Weird Al, though, especially, is that like a lot of his it almost sounds like he's taken a, you know, he's just taken out the vocals from the existing recording, but he's actually always replicating that sound.
Yeah.
Which is a lot. It sounds like, oh, you just play this instrument, it sounds like that, but in terms of matching length and matching tone, it's a lot harder than it sounds.
Yeah, and it used to be, when he was first doing his albums, it was really hard.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a bit different now. My favorite thing he ever did was the Devo song that wasn't a Devo song. The Dare to Be Stupid.
Oh, yeah, that one. And I also like his Zappa song that was not a Zappa song, but I can't remember what it was called.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
He knows how to nail things and just take it apart. Well, see, now I don't think I have anything that's a good answer to that, that's for sure.
No, we don't have like to I answer. Said, I mean, to... I, like I said, I don't have answers. I have Cookie Monster singing a disco song. I've got 76 trombones on a broken carousel machine, so all the notes are all screwed up. Just stuff like that. What's your...
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
Yeah. What do you want to play next of yours?
Well, see, some of the stuff that I picked out too is stuff that I just think is cool and obscure, as opposed to being actually having a sort of a humorous component.
Oh, I do too. I have one called Hava Tequila, which is Hava Nagila done in the style of tequila, and it just sounds wonderful.
Yeah, but see, that's still got that humorous component too that I sometimes don't have. Okay, well, anyway,
well, that's true.
Let's go for the deep the nerd deep cut and do 7 Million Miles, by this poorly understood, poorly known band that is a legend in tuba circles that was out of Ohio, out of Dayton in the late 70s, I think.
UFO called, connection.
Called Tuba Blues. Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that, but you're right. And it's a rock band with a tuba.
So it's 7 Million Miles by Tuba Blues. BLOOZETOOBA.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see what... Go ahead.
The tuba playing on this is fiendishly good. And until recently, no one really knew who played the tuba, but we know now, and he's not anybody who's really well-known in these circles, but it's fascinating nonetheless. So anyway, I'm going to stop talking.
Okay, 7 Million Miles, Tuba Blues.
Thank you.
Wow, that was wonderful.
Yeah, I know. I know. I could sit here and list you 25 college professors that I know that don't have that sort of flexibility and facility on the horn. It's just stupidly good. And apparently he was just like a bass player. He picked up the tuba and had a natural affinity for it.
Lead tuba.
I'm sorry?
It's lead tuba.
Yeah, it's yeah, I don't even know what to say. It's just it's so ridiculously
silly.
Guess, yeah, facile.
Yeah.
Dexterous.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was my that's a quasi serious thing. I don't think that the song's particularly good. But the extra component of the tuba makes it at least a nice novelty.
Yeah, and then they have a whole bunch of other songs on here, which I'll listen to. One of the songs is called Crazy Al.
Yeah, that's actually, in terms of like being enjoyable music, that's probably one of the more enjoyable tracks.
Okay, I will answer with something you've probably heard before. It's the Imperial March played on a ocarina and ukulele.
I actually don't think I've ever heard this.
Really? Let's see if it works here. Yeah, it's working. Sounds like there might be a tuba in there or something.
Yeah, it sounds like there is.
It's the least menacing version ever.
I know. I like the idea of all the children of the Imperial officer station on the Death Star playing this in their spare time. Yeah, it's a tuba.
Okay.
Modulation there.
It just ends like that.
Nice. Unresolved cadence.
Yeah.
It almost sounds like a penny whistle from here.
Oh, maybe it is. I keep thinking it's an ocarina, but maybe you're right. I have a picture that we took in Venice when I was there. We were walking down the streets in Venice, Italy, and we went by a music shop, and every strange little instrument you had ever heard of was in the window. And they all had nice, tiny little handwritten prices on them, that you had to actually bend down and look really closely to see what the prices were. But, you know, there were jew's harps and ocarinas and penny whistles, like you said, and cowbells and really tiny little accordions. And it was the strangest music shop I've ever seen. I want to buy every instrument there and then get people to play them in a band.
I would have a field day in there.
You would?
Yeah, that sounds like so much fun. I have an ocarina and a ukulele, and I have a Jew's harp, but I can't get it to. I'm not any good at it. I'm trying to think of the most useless instruments that I have. That's a pretty good list, I think. So
that's
far.
Funny. We have a ukulele and an ocarina and a Jew's harp in the house too, which are hardly ever used.
Of course, yeah, exactly. I used to have a bosun's whistle, you know.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great in some kind of musical composition.
Some sort of kick capacity, yeah.
If your band ever plays somewhere out here, I'm with you. Bring that, and I'll just come out and blow it like every two or three, like twice, two or three times in the song for no reason whatsoever.
That would be fantastic.
All the sailors will think it's time to go to sleep or eat or something.
How to play the hornpipe jig in one of the solos. That's my favorite. It's one of my favorite quotes to work into a solo.
Oh, there's a really good a really good cover of Sailor's Hornpipe. Oh, let me see if I can find it. Yeah, there's too many of them on here. It's a guitar version. I can't find it. I have all these things in my head, but I can't remember them all. It was by a Swedish surf band from the 60s. Very strange. They used to dress. What was their name? Were they the Cosmonauts or something like that? There's old video of them playing on stage, and they're all in like a full astronaut outfit with a bubble head and the whole thing, playing surf music.
That's fantastic.
It's beautiful. I guess, you know, somebody's probably going to bug me saying, "Oh, it was so and so." But
yeah, that's the thing. Whenever you can't come up with something and you're in an online forum like this, it's always like, "Excuse me, it was, you know."
Yeah, exactly.
It was so and so on their 1954 recording of the, you know.
Yeah.
The B side. Yeah.
The Spotniks. It was the Spotniks.
The Spotniks. Love it. I love it.
Let's see if it's on. Let's see if it works. We'll just play a little bit of it, but yeah, the Spotniks with Sailor's Hornpipe.
It almost sounds like Grecian music. This tempo, right?
Like what?
Almost like Grecian music.
Yeah,
but you know.
Yeah, Anthony Quinn should be dancing. Otherwise known as the Popeye theme. Oh, and then there's electric organ playing.
Nice.
Well, there you go. See, that's an example of the pleasant music that you were talking about earlier.
Well, you know, it's interesting to me because, like, something that I realized a long time ago is that if you take certain genres of music, if you play them on specific instruments and change the style just a little bit, just the style, not even the notes, and put them in a banda setting, and it, you know, would sound almost, well, not a, well, a mariachi setting or polka, you know, the polka mariachi banda thing.
Yeah, Sousa March, as you said. I really got unplugged there for a second.
Goes back and forth a lot. I'm sorry, was it?
I got unplugged there for a second, but I wanted to reiterate that you said play Sousa marches like in a banda setting.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, like, it's just the whole polka, Sousa marches, banda thing.
Yeah.
If played in the right context, they kind of are compositionally all very much the same.
Yeah.
And melodically in a lot of cases too. Less so with like the more modern banda stuff, but it's really, really striking how much just instrumentation and simple like stylistic performance things can really change the way that things are perceived. So what does that mean about language and the way that we to bring it back home?
It means that people's brains human brains have evolved to use language in similar ways in many places. Not even written, too, actually. I saw a documentary on cracking the Maya code the other day, and my mouth was hanging open the whole time because it has to do with writing systems, which is a Mario Pozzaglini thing. And they list, it's like, there's three types of writing systems. There's alphabetic. And I was like, oh, shit, here it comes. Syllabic and ideographic. And they went through it. And it's like the Mayan language had elements of all those. So that was, it was amazing.
There's a book in there. There's a book in there. To the UFO thing. Because I feel like some people have kind of done that, but it's always sort of taken a left-hand turn into some kind of out there territory.
Yeah.
I can't cite any specific examples. I just feel like I've heard of a book of alien writing written before, but it's always been kind of, yeah. Which, I mean, the guy I talked to yesterday, the experiencer, said that he remembered seeing some very specific writing as well. And I was like, wow, have you ever heard of Mario Pozzaglini?
Yeah, he should look it up. The funny thing is most of the Mario Pozzaglini stuff goes back to stuff I wrote and an interview that the Disinfo people did with him, and one interview, the original one from the Anomalist magazine with Patrick Weege, I think, talked to him first.
Mm. I might actually reach out to him and I have that one screenshot that I threatened to musically analyze. I might actually shoot that his way if that's okay with you.
Oh yeah, please. It's like I don't even know if that's what Mario meant with it or whatever it came from meant with it, but it'd be really interesting to see what happens with it, as we talked about on the last show. Your next song, unless you want to keep going with this.
Mm. Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Okay.
Be interested to see if you've heard this rendition. As long as we're talking about how style, you know. Well, this is an example where style and instrumentation can really change the way that a song sounds.
Yeah, there's almost a subgenre of Smells Like Teen Spirit covers, and I've heard a few of them. I've heard this one.
You've heard this one? Damn it. Okay. Well, anyway, for everybody else.
Yeah, the people listening probably haven't heard it, and I like this version because it's not expected. You know, it's not what you expect out of this, which makes things the best thing you could possibly do. It's
exactly.
And we won't say who it is. We'll just play it first.
Yeah.
Okay. There we go.
Load up, load up, and bring your friends. It's fun to lose and to pretend. She's overboard, she's self-assured. Oh no, I know a dirty word. Hello, 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 hello.
Smooth, smooth.
Hello, 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 hello. With the lights out, less dangerous. Here we are now. Entertain us. I feel stupid, contagious. Here we are now. Entertain us. I'm a lotto.
Also, the band on this recording is killing it.
A mosquito, my libido. Yeah. I'm worse at what I do best, and for this gift I do feel blessed. And our little group has always been and always will until the end. Hello, 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 hello. Less dangerous. Here we are now. Entertain us. I feel stupid, contagious. Here we are now. Entertain us. I'm a lotto, an albino, a mosquito, my libido.
Yeah, I always like quote unquote silly things executed really, really well. Even that was Paul Anka, everybody, from the album Rock Swings. There are a bunch of great. I think he does Eye of the Tiger on there.
Yeah,
and you make me feel so young. The Way You Make Me Feel by Michael Jackson, and all of the arrangements are just top notch. I think Paul sounds great. And the band is swinging its ass off. It sounds so good. So yeah, that's that.
Oh, I don't have anything pleasant like that. How about that? Since we just ended, I've got Christmas stuff too. A few of them, but one of them is this Hava Nagila done in the style of the song Tequila.
Let's go for that. Yeah, I'd love to hear that.
Called Hava Tequila. I can't remember who does it though. Okay. Oh, that was Billy Strange was the name of the artist on that. I don't even know what year that was.
My next question.
Yeah.
That's a fantastic rendition. That's great.
Yeah, I've got probably 10, 15, 20 versions of Hava Nagila. That's just one of them, and I thought that was the one I picked for this evening.
Nice. No, that's great. That's great. Well, since instrumentals are on the table, I am probably sure that you've heard this rendition, but let's break out the Swan, the Clara Rockmore version of the Swan. Controversial statement from classically trained musician, this is my favorite version of the Swan. Most people will point to an interpretation like or someone is doing this. Everybody will recognize this piece once they hear it. But this is actually Clara Rockmore,
yes,
doing it on theremin, and it's to my ear, it's one of the most musical versions because there's so much subtlety and like everything about it is calculated in a good way. The vibrato is just dead on, and the way that she shapes her phrases is better than any other interpretation that I've heard. So that's my. You know, controversial classical musician statement. You know, I'm sure somewhere there's a teacher that's that would weep if they heard me say that. But
well, too bad because I'm before we even play this, I'm forced to agree with you because I know who Clara Rockmore is, and we'll talk a little bit about her after we play the song here. So this
sounds great.
So here it is.
¶¶
I mean, it's...
There we go. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. It's just so friggin' delicate.
Yeah. You have to watch the video, too, to see what she's doing with her hands. And it's just, it comes from playing the damn thing probably at that point for probably 30 or 40 years.
Oh, yeah, because if for anybody who doesn't know, theremin is notoriously difficult because, you know, it's... Not only is it obviously not fretted, but like... Although I've heard that someone has made, I have no idea how it works, I have no idea what's going on, but I've heard that someone has made a fretted theremin. I would assume that it means that it's more forgiving in terms of where the pitch center is, in terms of spatially, where your hand can be put.
Yeah.
She had a preternatural ability to play the theremin more in tune and with more control than anybody really that I've heard ever, but certainly for people amongst her time.
yeah, and she looks like Ema Sumac.
This is true.
A little bit.
This is true.
Was she an item with theremin for a while or no?
I think that feels correct, but I can't. I can neither confirm nor deny. But that feels like something I might have heard at some point.
Yeah, maybe because I watched the documentary on the theremin, and I can't remember if they talked about her as being when he was outside of Russia for a while. Leon Theremin. I don't know if she was his girlfriend for a while or what. But
said the two men sitting on the internet.
Yes.
I'm not going to worry about
it right now. I don't have anything that pretty sitting around. All I've got is stupid stuff. How about something really stupid? The 76 trombones with a broken carousel.
Yeah, the way that you just got to dive in on the other dive into the other direction. That's the only way to answer that.
Okay, well, here's the Como Zoo Carousel. I don't know the exact story behind this. I've lost it. But what happened is sometime in the late 1970s. Somewhere in the Midwest, I guess I'd have to look it up. The guy that posted this years ago, I found it somewhere. He said that there was a zoo, the Como Zoo, wherever that is. And somebody can probably look it up right now. And they had a carousel there, but the thing was that they never bothered to fix the calliope and the little calliope that ran. And it wasn't a recording; it was one actually running. And it had gotten so messed up and out of tune that it sounded completely ridiculous. And this guy's dad asked the permission of the carousel operator to come down there when there was nobody around and record all the messed up songs that it played.
That sounds
so he
great.
Got Moon River and a few other things.
Okay,
Moon River is terrible, but I thought for you, 76 trombones would be good.
Oh, no, yeah, that's right up my alley.
Okay, so here's 76 trombones on the broken Como Zoo carousel. There it is, starting up.
Oh, God. I love the drone.
Like a bagpipe or something. It makes me happy.
How long is this?
probably about another 30 seconds. We could fade it down here.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Almost
actually,
done.
You know, to be honest, I teach a beginner trombone master class on Mondays, and that's not that far off from that sound. Oh, man, that is...
Here's a home stretch.
Horrendous. That reminds me of if you're ever just north of Madison, Wisconsin, you have to check out House on the Rock.
Oh, yeah. I can't turn that down. I'm actually just playing the file. So, yes, I've heard of that place.
Oh, it's magnificent. And it's full of, like, calliopes, but half of them are in some sort of state of disrepair. But it's like walking through an opium dream. It's just...
Yes, I've seen pictures.
It's just... There's like a giant coffee table that you stumble upon at one point that's just full of ornate glass paperweights, and there's a big collection of scrimshaw out of nowhere, or like Victorian era teacups with rabbits on them. Like, I'm sure that this is the world's largest collection of whatever this is.
Right, exactly.
But it's a total tourist trap, but if for those of us with this current disposition, it's totally, totally worth it.
Well, the thing is that people make the mistake because of, I don't know what it is, ironic culture or hipster culture or whatever, that you go to these things to laugh at them. Yeah, well, I guess you kind of laugh at them, but then you're just like, what an obsession. This person was so obsessed to do this, and you have to, you at some level, you have to really respect it. Any of these weird things. I mean, any, like, you know, whatever, that there's a weird house in Phoenix, Arizona that was built by this crazy guy who, you know, left his wife mysteriously because he thought he was going to die and then wrote her later. This big tragic story. But the thing was put together with junk. And there's a lot of little weird personalized properties around the country that were put together with junk, and they held together, and they're... If the person did it right, it's just the whole house is a piece of artwork.
Yeah, it's this thing where the ironic hipster culture. I mean, yeah, okay, this might be ridiculous, but at least it's something creative. You know, it's not somebody who's just trying to tear something down.
Uh-huh.
And if somebody has a legacy like the guy from House on the Rock, I mean, yeah, it's absurd, but the guy has more of a legacy than a lot of these people who are poking fun at it. Will.
Yep.
And it's just, it's just a fascinating place to visit. There's a car completely covered in tile that actually, once he finished covering it in tile, it was too heavy for him to drive. the tires kept on popping or something like that. But it's just little things like that. That yeah, it's quirky and it's weird. But like again, at least it's constructive in some sense.
Yeah, it looks like at the Liberace Museum, or used to be, there was a car that was entirely covered in mirrors, like a disco ball.
Oh man,
it was beautiful. I mean, it was like an object from another planet. In fact, a lot of the stuff in the Liberace Museum was like stuff from another planet.
Yeah, I can see a contactee riding around in a mirror covered car.
Yeah,
doesn't seem like too far of a stretch.
Yeah, the blinding people that are going to run into him. I don't know if he ever drove the thing around, but just sitting in the museum there, it was jaw droppingly amazing. Your turn.
Okay, we're gonna go there. We're gonna do Shave 'Em Dry.
Okay.
Listener discretion warning. You're not terrestrial in any sense, are you?
Nope.
Cool. Okay, because this would definitely get you kicked off. I present this for several.
Maybe.
I present this for several. Have you heard this before?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Oh, you have. Okay.
Yeah, I actually have a vinyl with this on it. Not 78, but I've got vinyl with this on it, a collection, I think.
Okay, well then, cool. So for anybody who doesn't know, this is a subgenre of one of the earliest blues genres, the dirty blues. And it's important for a couple of different reasons. I personally like to trot it out anytime anybody ever says that the world is getting more and more lurid, because this is definitive proof that people have always been as foul as possible. But also, in terms of its musical significance, a lot of the vocabulary, and I mean that in terms of some of these quite obscene sexual terms that got co-opted into more acceptable musical terms. But I also mean vocabulary in terms of like the forms of the dirty blues. Both of them were very important to the blues and thusly later the jazz genres later. Shave 'Em Dry, I believe, means not only to play without warming up, but it also means to have intercourse without foreplay. Similarly, you look at some of the other terms of the era. I mean, the term jazz, we all know what that started off. We all know what that started off as an equivalent for as a slang for male ejaculate.
Yes.
And similarly, juke, jukebox. Well, the juke joints used to be places where you go to listen to music and you'd have a brothel in the back. So it's interesting to me to see how those terms evolved out of this. And also it's kind of hilarious in terms of how foul it is. I was playing this and my wife walked in and you should have seen the look that I got. so anyway, Shave 'Em Dry.
All right, here we go.
I got nipples on my titties, big as the end of my thumb. I got something between my legs, I'll make a dead man come. Oh, daddy, baby, won't you shave 'em dry?
No, Lord, no.
Want you to grind me, baby, grind me until I cry. Say I fucked all night and all the night before, baby. And I feel just like I want to fuck some more. Great God, daddy, grind me, honey, and shave me dry. And when you hear me holler, baby, I want you to shave me dry. I got nipples on my titty, big as the end of my thumb. Daddy, you say that's the kind of woman you want, and you can make them come. Oh, daddy, shave me dry. And I give you something, baby, swear it'll make you cry. I'm gonna turn back my mattress and let you oil my springs. I want you to grind me, daddy, till the bell do ring. Oh, daddy, want you to shave me dry. Oh, great God, daddy, if you can't shave them, baby, won't you try? Now, if fucking was a thing that would take me to heaven, I'd be fucking in the studio till the clock strike 11. Oh, daddy, daddy, shave them dry. I'd fuck you, baby. Honey, I'd make you cry. Now your nuts hang down like a damn bell clapper, and your dick stands up like a steeple. Your goddamn asshole stands open like a church door, and the crab walks in like people. Ow! Shit! Ow! Shucks! Woo! Baby, won't you shave them dry? A big sow gets fat from eating corn, and a pig gets fat from sucking. When you see this whore fat like I am, great God, I got fat to fuck. Yee! Shave them dry.
Oh, brush. Don't brush it.
My back is made of whalebone, and my cock is made of brass. And my fucking is made for working men's $2. Red garden round to kiss my ass. Oh! Woo! Daddy, shave him dry.
I was smiling through that. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Josh got cut off.
No, I'm here. That was, Yep, always enjoyable to listen to those. We're always,
1935.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? I mean, like, we always want to talk about the downward slide of culture and civilization in terms of, you know, or the prudes want to talk about the downward slide of civilization in terms of the way that we speak and the things that we talk about. But we've been talking about this sort of thing forever.
I was going to play Butterbeans and Susie Hot Dog for my role, but that's just anticlimactic for that. So forget that.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, bringing it back to Tom Waits, that something between my legs can make a dead man come was used in it was on the album Blue Valentine. Shoot, I should have known that. Anyway, no, it's not Step Right Up. It'll come to me in a second.
Oh, okay. Oh, God. I don't have anything to follow that.
Pick something. Pick the sweetest thing that you can. How about that?
There's no really sweet stuff on here. There's Video Killed the Radio Star, I believe, in Hindi. Very strange version of that.
That works.
Okay, let's see. It's Ava Ava Koyahanacha something. Anyway, the way they pronounce it is different, but it's definitely Video Killed the Radio Star, and it's kind of deconstructed. Let's see what it sounds like.
Oh, hold on. Hayseeds in a G-String from Small Change. That was the album. Yeah, the way he uses that line. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Want to get that under the wire.
Yes,
okay, go ahead.
I remember that album.
आहा नाचे नाचे कोई वहां आहा नाचे नाचे सारे हंसी आहा नाचे नाचे सारे जहां आहा नाचे नाचे आवा आवा
It's very nice.
Bang, bang.
Shut up,
face.
Kisi ka dil
aha nache nache,
kisi ki jaan
aha nache nache,
sare hasi
aha nache nache,
sare jawan
aha nache nache.
Aua aua, tumse hai tumse pyar. Aua aua, mano na mere yaar. Aua aua, tumse hai tumse pyar. खुशी है यहाँ जिसका ठिकाना नहीं, लूटो खजाना बैंग बैंग, कहीं शमा
आह नच नच,
कहीं धुआं
आह नच नच,
सारे हसी
आह नच नच,
सारे जवां
आह नच नच,
अव्वा अव्वा, तुमसे है तुमसे प्यार, अव्वा अव्वा, मानो ना मेरे यार, अव्वा अव्वा, तुमसे है तुमसे प्यार,
स्वीट 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 स्वीट, स्वीट 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 स्वीट,
how stripped down it is.
Duniya diwani lage, kitni suhani lage, kar de jawani bang bang. Gaun mein geet koi, sabki kahani lage, yaadi purani bang bang.
There wasn't really a bang bang in the
sari fiza.
Like where does that, okay, got it.
Sara jahan,
aha nache nache,
sare hasi,
aha nache nache,
sare jawan,
aha nache nache.
Okay, diwana nach,
awwa awwa,
nache zamana nach,
awwa awwa,
okay, diwana nach, la.
Home stretch.
Sweet, sweet. Sweet, sweet.
Okay. That was great. You know,
Awa Awa Kawayaha Nache Nache by Ushla Uthup and Bapi Lahiri.
the bang bang makes me wonder if it's not just the melody co-opted, because I mean it is so different. If it's just the melody co-opted with different words.
I think it's a Bollywood Hindi thing. I mean, it really sounds like that.
Something involving a horse too, probably.
Yeah, maybe, or that's just their beat. Who knows? Yeah, but they did have it sounded like the coconuts going, you know.
Yeah, it did.
All right, that was my silly one after shave 'em dry.
Yeah, thank you for the levity. I really appreciate it.
Well, that shave 'em dry was levity too, but it was just shocking. I was like I told you, I was smiling the whole way through it because I haven't heard it in years.
Yeah, I feel like there's so many moments in there. I'm like, well, first of all, it starts off with just like a smack to the face, and then it keeps on getting worse and worse.
Yeah, it's perfect. Your turn.
Okay, so Have you heard the Moog Cookbook version of Hotel California?
Yes, I have that CD.
Okay. So since you have, and since it's kind of long, we'll forego that one.
Okay.
Because it is like a 6.5 descent into stylistic madness.
Yeah, this one that one I didn't even know how long the thing was. It's probably like 4 minutes that video killed version.
Yeah, that's fine. We can get to some other. Okay, and you've heard Hooray for Captain Spaulding, right?
Yes.
Okay. Deep cuts now. Okay, I tell you what. Let's go with something. Back to a sort of a seriouser one. Let's do Black and Pretty, which I sent you as an MP3 if you have that one.
Yes, I do.
You can't find this on the internet, folks. Can't find it on the internet.
Okay. Background for this?
Background for this. I have played with this gentleman. His name is Mike Wagner. He lives in Brooklyn. He plays ukulele. Played with him on a couple of occasions since 2007, 2008. But a very talented young man, has a lot of good songwriting. But what's really striking about him is the effort that he has put into extended effects on the ukulele. He does a lot of slapping of the body of the actual instrument, but also he hits the sound hole to produce like a tabla drum sort of effect.
Huh.
But also it's also the rapidity with which he does it. And I think Black and Blue is probably one of the, so this is just him, no hand percussion or anything. Literally he's not tracked. This is him. I've seen him do this exact same thing, just him live. And it's a very virtuosic, very impressive, sort of tune. And it's also, you know, fun to listen to. So,
okay, this is, what's the title?
Michael Wagner. The song is called Black and Pretty. It's off of his album Love Songs and Miscellany.
All right, here we go.
Some people simply won't see you, no matter how bright you might seem. Some people simply won't hear you, no matter how loud you might scream. Some people simply won't listen, no matter how much you might say. Some people won't pay attention until you slap them in the face. And I mean to be so indiscreet. I mean to be the one you see, and my hands are bruised, black and blue, black and blue, black and pretty from trying to make myself known. 'Cause some people just won't believe you till after you've told them some lies. Some people simply won't feel you until you've brought tears to their eyes. Some people simply won't like you till after you've taken a fall. Some people simply won't love you until you've forgotten them all. And I mean to be so weird. I mean to be the one you see, and my hands are bruised, black and blue, black and blue, black and pretty, 'cause I'm trying to make myself known. And my hands are bruised, black and blue, black and blue, black and pretty, 'cause I'm trying to make myself known. And my hands are bruised, black and blue, black and pretty, 'cause I'm trying to make myself known. And my hands are bruised, black and blue, black and pretty, 'cause I'm trying to make myself known. And my hands are bruised, black and blue, black and pretty. Oh, my hands are bruised, black and blue, black and pretty. Oh, my hands are bruised, black and blue, black and pretty, from trying to make myself known. Still still some people, still some people, still some people need to be told.
That was very pretty. I really like that. I would love to see him do that live.
There, you can find a couple of videos of him doing some similar, not that particular tune, but some similar stuff on online. And he's got some. I don't think that was necessarily the best showcase of his songwriting talents, but he's got a couple albums that are out, and guy does really good work. I wish that he would tour again. Most of the time, I think he just stays in the New York area. But that's Mike. Great guy.
We're in the last 15. Well, we can go a little long too. That's okay. I don't know what to follow that up with, except I've got a collection of songs from pop American pop influenced songs from
Okinawa.
Yes, no. Okinawan. Okay, yeah. 1960s strange Western influenced pop. Every time I play this, my wife says, stop it. Stop playing that. Because when you listen to it, it starts out sounding like okay, and then it suddenly, it's like gradually, not suddenly, gradually devolves into this, it makes sense, but they're trying to mix a Western, maybe you can give me a better explanation of this after you hear it, but they're trying to mix a Western sensibility of chords, structure, melody, and all that with an Eastern one. And it sounds really dissonant. It's very strange. It makes you feel dizzy and weird.
Oh, okay. I'm going to dig this. Okay. Hit me with it.
Okay. This is Gogo Chimbora. I can't. And I will pick up the artist name here after we play it. Okinawan music from the 60s.
Yeah, that's it's almost like, to me it's almost, again I'm not hearing everything going on, but to me it's almost like the band is doing a very Western thing and the singer is still doing a very Eastern thing.
Yeah, well, even the band is not doing a quite 100% Western thing, because it's just you feel kind of strange beforehand when the singing comes in. It's like to me, I'm losing my balance.
Yeah, I think it's that. I also think some of the chord transitions are not quote unquote prepared for as they should be. one sharp four.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what their thinking was behind it. They weren't bad musicians. It's just they were trying to.
No.
What happened was they would go to the U.S. bases or listen to the stuff that the U.S. servicemen were listening to, and they just thought, okay, this is cool stuff. Bought some of the records and then tried to do stuff themselves.
Well, you know, thinking of a lot of Eastern music traditions use microtones in terms of the way that they play stuff. So
what's
in,
that?
In to, so well, you know, we don't have a couple of hours to talk about it, but there was a big debate as to whether keyboards back in particular the Baroque era should be equally tempered, or if they should be justly tempered. I believe it's justly tempered. I'm not a keyboard player.
Yeah, okay. So this is a modern as opposed to a possibly classical or whatever 17th, 18th century tuning of these instruments.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It basically what it comes down to is the relationships that you need to have a chord sound in tune, you have to play with how sharp or flat certain notes should be, whereas in a melody they shouldn't be messed with, if that makes sense.
Okay. So
as a brass player, you pull out slides and, you know, you adjust that way to make yourself lock better in tune. So everybody pretty much settled on just those compromises, but in Eastern traditions, you didn't even have that concept, and so they ended up using microtones, which means that, like, we have, you know, there are 12 notes in the chromatic scale, 12 pitches. Each Western scale is made up of 8 notes.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, in some Eastern positions, in Eastern traditions, there could be, you know, like for example, 4 notes in between one of our notes. Which is just so, and we perceive that as just either really sharp or really flat versions. So that I think maybe she, again, from what I can hear, maybe that's part of it too, is that she's singing some microtones on top of something that's kind of straight ahead. Again, I could be completely wrong.
Putting
my finger on such things has never been my strong point, strong suit rather.
Well, it's called Ryuku Rare Groove, if you want to look for it online. Or I think there's Ryuku.
Rare Groove?
Yeah, they have the whole album is posted on, I think there might be a couple albums of it, but at least one of them is posted on YouTube.
Okay, but
there's 15, 20 songs like that of varying different, and none of them sound the same. Some of them sound very Western, some of them sound a lot more Eastern, and some like that are... About half of them are like that. They're just somewhere in between and very vertigo inducing to me.
Yeah, off kilter. There are a couple of times whenever artists play with rapidly shifting left right channels, especially when I'm listening on headphones, I can't stand that shit. I just got to take it out. It's untenable for me, that's for sure.
Okay, so what off this list here you sent me would you like to hear play next? And we got our siren too last song.
Yeah, I know, it's perfect. I was sort of waiting for that the entire time. I think you'll get a kick out of this tune actually. A friend of mine who I used to play a lot with, he does a lot of shows in the in the Davis area. He's a Nashville singer songwriter. His name is stage name is Antsy McLean. And his band is the Trailer Park Troubadours.
Yeah,
I'm on a couple of his albums. One of his anthem song that everyone loves is called "I Married Up," which I just wrote down as "Married Up" on the Word document.
Right.
But it's have you ever heard of this group?
I think I have. What's it? The Trailer Park Troubadours? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Real fun show if anybody sees it. Lot of good humor. It's almost like John Prine meets Andy Griffith meets Weird Al.
Okay, that sounds great already.
Yeah, but this is his very tongue-in-cheek, and he has some very wonderful, wonderful, poignant stuff as well. But this is one of his tongue-in-cheek songs called "I Married Up," and it's got some great punchlines in there. So,
okay, here we go.
Yellow terry cloth robe. She's got her mail order Richard Petty earrings dangling from each lobe. She's got her hair up in rollers, and the rollers are Mountain Dew cans. She's a picture of grace with that grilled Spam and cheese in her hand.
But, yeah, he's got a lot of very humorous songs. Another one's about, like, wanting to be famous like Ron Howard's brother. for which he actually got Clint Howard to come out to the live DVD taping we did in Alton Davis back in 2008. Where I also got to meet Tommy Smothers, which was awesome.
Wow, he's still around or was? That's great. Well,
yeah, as of then he was. And still like sharp and actually kind of a cranky guy, if you want to know the truth. Yeah, I just looked. It looks like he's still alive, 78.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no answer for that song, although I wanted to play a Christmas song.
Yes, do that.
By Yogi Jorgensen. Do you know who that is?
Oh, is this I just go nuts at Christmas?
It's that guy, but I'm not going to play that song.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, I haven't heard anything else he's done, so this is a treat.
Harry Stewart, who performed under the a Norwegian-American entertainer and songwriter who often performed as Yogi Jorgensen, and also one of my wife's favorite artists. He also did a couple things with a really heavy, bad Japanese accent that would be considered horribly racist today.
of course.
Yeah, but since his stuff, most of his stuff was Norwegian stuff, he's making fun of white people in Minnesota, so that's okay. Anyway,
yeah,
this is a Christmas song, which I think you probably haven't heard. It's called Rusty Chevrolet.
No, I haven't. Oh, this is going to be a treat.
And he doesn't do it in the Yogi Jorgensen voice. He does it in his own like straight American voice. So let's see what this sounds like.
Come on, come on. Come on, you can do it. All right. Dashing through the snow in my rusty Chevrolet, down the road I go, sliding all the way. I need new piston rings, I need some new snow tires. My car is held together by a piece of chicken wire. Oh, rust and smoke, the heater's broke, the door just flew away. I light a match to see the dash, and then I start to pray. The frame is bent, the muffler went, the radio, it's okay. Oh, what fun it is to drive this rusty Chevrolet. I went to the IGA to get some Christmas cheer. I just passed up my left front tire and it's getting hard to steer. Speeding down the highway, right past the Nagani cops, I had to drag my swampers to get the car to stop. Oh, rust and smoke, the heater's broke, the door just flew away. I light a match to see the dash, and then I start to pray. The frame is bent, the muffler went, the radio, it's okay. Oh, what fun it is to ride this rusty through the snowdrifts in a big blue cloud of smoke. People laugh as I drive by, I wonder what's the joke. I got to get to Shopko to pick up the layaway, 'cause Santa Claus is coming soon in his big old rusty sleigh. Oh, rust and smoke, the heater's broke, the door just blew away. I light a match to see the dash, and then I start to pray. The frame is bent, the muffler went, the radio, it's okay. Oh, what fun it is to drive this rusty Chevrolet. Rust and smoke, the heater's broke, the door just flew away. I light a match to see the dash, and I start to pray.
There we go, Yogi Jorgensen.
That is magnificent. Yeah. Love it. Loved it.
A completely untypical Christmas song I like to play on my Christmas shows, which will be, I guess, in a couple of weeks. You are the guest. Unless you want to keep going even later than this, you can have the last word. Our last song.
Oh, the last song.
Since we pretty much started on time.
Yeah. Have you heard this parody version of Iron Man called I Am Santa Claus?
No.
Okay. We'll finish up with that. Last on the list. It's keeping with the Christmas theme.
Oh, the last one down there. Okay.
Yeah, because there's a version of Iron Man which we didn't get around to, but it's also long.
Well, we'll save that for the next one.
Yeah, sounds great. Sounds great. And this has been an absolute blast. I've been looking forward to this like all. This is the cherry on top of my busy week. So this is perfect.
Yes, me too. Actually, yeah, I've been doing all kinds of stuff with varying degrees of fun, but all the stuff you brought in here is absolutely amazing. And I'm going to go home immediately and record that. God, I had a religious experience.
That's great. That's awesome.
So here's
I'm glad that I brought that into your life.
Yeah, if I remember nothing else from this, it's going to be that. So this is I Am Santa Claus. By who?
By Bob Rivers Twisted Radio.
Okay. It's already good.
Santa Claus! Ho, 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 ho.
Interpolations there.
Sees every move you make. Better be good for goodness sake. Leave him cookies and beer. He'll be back to your house first next year.
Oh, that was their little tag. Still there?
Oh, okay, got it. Yeah, yeah. And do all a good night, right?
Yes. Oh, well, thanks for, so much for being the guest pastor in church here today.
Oh no, it's my pleasure. I knew that this had to happen at some point. And I never get to speak about these sort of things on the program, so it's nice to come in and not talk about UFOs. Who needs?
Yes, even though we did right at the beginning.
Yeah, well, that doesn't count.
I still want to continue my series, you know, begun with Peter Robbins, of having famous UFO researchers on and then never mentioning UFOs during the program whatsoever.
Yeah, that, you've got to keep on doing that. Here we have Jacques Vallée talking about his favorite flavors of ice cream.
That's right. If I ever get him on, I'm afraid that he probably likes classical music, but I was going to ask him to pick the, because I'd pick like some French yay stuff, and he probably hates it.
You know what? Yeah, that's a great question. What does Jacques Vallée listen to? I can see him being a classical guy.
Yeah, well, I'll write him in another series of emails and say, what kind of music you listen to?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Joshua. Is it you? People call you Josh or Joshua?
I both. I mean, both? You know, I think in these circles, most people end up calling me Joshua, but people who know me are mostly like Josh. So
okay, well,
you can call me anything but late for breakfast.
Huh? Okay, yeah. Well, I'm never up for breakfast, so it doesn't matter to me. But
nice.
Thanks so much for coming on and this great stuff. And yes, we'll do it again sometime because I like doing the weird music shows. And I like when people bring in other weird stuff. The only people I've had on, the person I've had on besides you is Mr. Fab.
Is who?
Mr. Fab from Music for Maniacs.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and so I would like to continue this. So thanks so much. And I'll probably play something, but I won't keep it in the show when I... just so that I can break down all my stuff here. It's a mashup of Led Zeppelin songs that sound like Christmas songs.
That's great. That's great.
So if you want to stay on and listen to it, I'll talk to you soon. And if not, I'll talk to you soon as well.
All right. Sounds good. Have a great week, Craig. And Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yes. Same to everybody and same to you. And thanks again.
All right. Take care.
All right. You too.